Hey, all, welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I'm your host, Pharmacist Eric Christensen. Thank you for listening today. As always, go sign up at reallifepharmacology.com. Get your free 31-page study guide. It's on the top 200 drugs, lots of clinical practice pearls, lots of things that are going to show up on board exams as well. So go check that out absolutely for free, simply an email. I'll also get you updates when we've got new podcasts and content available. The drug of the day today is olmesartan. Brand name of this medication is Benicar. And if you follow the podcast closely, we have covered losartan in the past. However, there definitely are some a couple of differences for sure that we should recognize with olmesartan. So I'll go through this drug individually as well. First off, mechanistically, similar to losartan, it is an angiotensin 1 and 2 receptor blocker, angiotensin 1 and 2 receptor blocker, also known as an ARB or abbreviated as ARB. Now, angiotensin 2 plays a role in the body by causing vasoconstriction as well as causing aldosterone secretion. So essentially, we are blocking those two things. In addition, just of note, olmesartan compared to, let's say, ACE inhibitors like lisinopril, they have less bradykinin effects, so this is potentially going to lead to, or theorized to lead to, less incidence of cough as a potential side effect. So if a patient is not taking an ACE inhibitor, they have a cough, they still should be able to try an ARB like olmesartan. Uses, hypertension, ACS, proteinuric renal disease. These are definitely all common indications there. Dosing, we've got 5, 20, and 40 milligram dosage forms. I would say in practice, the most common initial dose that I have seen as far as a starting dose is 20 milligrams. However, I have definitely seen and recommended at times, if somebody's going to use olmesartan, lower dosages than that. And good examples there, you know, if you got an elderly patient, maybe if they've got a borderline higher potassium, but we really feel we need an ACE or an ARB, like olmesartan here, if they've got that borderline high potassium, that's somewhere where you really want to be cautious and careful, so you might do a little bit lower dose. Another situation in poor renal function, maybe, where we don't want to get aggressive with the dose, or we want to titrate up a little bit more slowly to make sure we don't induce acute renal failure there. So those are a few examples where we might want to be a little bit more cautious and use a starting dose less than 20 milligrams. Okay, so comparing olmesartan or Benicar to other ARBs, typically, it is going to be slightly more expensive when you compare it to valsartan and losartan, which are probably two of the most commonly used ARBs. It probably is going to be, in most situations, a little bit more expensive, or at least historically, it has been. Unique to olmesartan, let's talk a little bit about adverse drug reactions. So, this is definitely one of the differentiators with olmesartan. There's a syndrome, what's called enteropathy, and essentially symptoms that you can look out for are diarrhea and weight loss. Obviously, that weight loss is going to happen over a period of time. But this adverse effect has been reported. It's, I would say, on the extremely rare side of things, but I think it is something definitely you should be aware of. So this enteropathy presents as diarrhea, and then, you know, over time, potentially weight loss. And you might not see it in patients right away. It might take months, even years to develop. So if you've got a patient that's having these GI symptoms, maybe we've done all our differential diagnosis testing, whether it's infectious disease or, you know, Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis or IBS, and we don't think it's those, definitely take a look at that med list and make sure that they aren't on olmesartan, which, again, has been rarely reported to cause that issue. Boxed warnings associated with all ARBs, like olmesartan fetal toxicity. So obviously we're going to stop that medication right away if we know a patient is pregnant. And likely most clinicians are going to avoid that medication in patients who are of childbearing age there. Other adverse effects, hyperkalemia, kind of alluded to that. Obviously, if we're using this blood pressure, this medication for managing blood pressure, it's going to drop blood pressure. And in some cases, we can drop it too far. So pay attention to dizziness. And of course, those are going to be monitoring parameters as well. I'll include renal function there. So it can increase the risk of acute renal failure. Rare adverse effect, angioedema. So that's, you know, swelling of the lips, tongue, mouth, and potentially throat if it's severe enough and could block that airway. Other items, issues, be careful in patients with a diagnosis of renal artery stenosis. So that's where the drug should be used cautiously there. Let's talk a little bit about pharmacokinetics. So this is another differentiator with olmesartan. So its half-life is 13 hours. Now, when you compare that to the half-life of losartan, one of the most commonly used ARBs, it does have a longer half-life. So again, olmesartan half-life, 13 hours. Losartan has been reported in the range of probably 5 to 9 hours. And so what that means is you can have patients that maybe have a little bit more rebound hypertension if they're taking losartan once a day, versus olmesartan does a little bit better job maybe of coverage all throughout the day. So that's why I've definitely seen losartan dosed twice a day in certain patients where blood pressure management is an issue there. However, with olmesartan, in theory, given the half-life, we should have a little bit longer coverage, and once daily dosing is more appropriate in those type of patients. Elimination. This is important to note. It is unchanged in the urine and feces primarily. So what that means as far as CYP enzymes is a really, really good thing. We don't generally have to worry about any CYP interactions with olmesartan. So that is definitely nice. However, it being eliminated unchanged in the urine to a significant extent, concentrations can potentially go up as that renal function declines for patients there. Another clinical pearl, black patients may have less beneficial effects from ACEs and ARBs like losartan, so I definitely wanted to mention that. And then one potential other advantage or benefit is there is combination products. So there's actually a triple combination, tribenzor, which is a combination of Benicar, or olmesartan, excuse me, hydrochlorothiazide, and amlodipine. There's also a combination of olmesartan just with amlodipine, and also olmesartan just with hydrochlorothiazide. So hydrochlorothiazide and olmesartan, that's Benicar HCT. Amlodipine with olmesartan, that is Azor, as far as the brand names go there. So again, those combinations in geriatrics in my practice can be beneficial. You know, many patients are already on a ton of medications, so they, you know, equate basically more pills, more medications, and that can lead to certainly increasing frustrations due to polypharmacy and having to take all these pills that day. So doing our best to utilize combinations where appropriate, if patients are on both or need both, that can certainly be advantageous. Again, not just in the elderly too, certainly patients who are historically poor adherers to medication therapy, or maybe they're busy with their life and they have difficulty remembering taking a second dose in the day or something like that. Using these combinations certainly can be helpful in situations like that. All right, let's take a quick break from our sponsor and we'll wrap up with drug interactions. If you're in the market for pharmacist board certification study material like NAPLEX, pharmacotherapy, BCGP, BCMTMS, ambulatory care, go check out meded101.com/store. Support the sponsor of this podcast. Your purchases there go directly to help keep this podcast viable, available, and helpful for all to benefit from. If you're not a pharmacist, you can go check out meded101.com/store, S-T-O-R-E. Recently put out MedEd 101 Guide to Drug-Food Interactions, MedEd 101 Guide to Nursing Pharmacology. Also got plenty of books, The Thrill of the Case, other drug interactions books. All those can be beneficial resources for any healthcare professional who has to deal with and work with medications and medication management. So again, all those resources, meded101.com/store. Your support there helps keep this podcast free and available for all to benefit from. All right, drug interactions. So we don't have to worry about CYP enzymes with olmesartan. Certainly a nice thing. Additive effects are going to be the big issues here. So drugs that can cause hyperkalemia, so your spironolactone, trimethoprim, those can have additive effects on elevating potassium levels. Of course, don't use ACE inhibitors with an ARB like olmesartan. Okay, I've seen it a handful of times in my career. A few times it's been, you know, kind of provider negligence. A few times it's been provider not paying attention to what another provider is prescribing or specialties prescribing. And a few times it's certainly been patient error where they've had, they were switched to one from another and they kept taking it. So this can happen in practice. So pay attention to that med list. Be sure we're discussing that with patients for sure. Blood pressure management. So certainly we're using olmesartan to drop blood pressure. Adding agents that can lower blood pressure further can have that additive effect. So your PDE5 inhibitors, Sinemet, any blood pressure medication, so on and so forth. I think I've talked about those at length in other podcasts. And then same thing on the flip side, using drugs that raise blood pressure could oppose the beneficial effects of olmesartan. So stimulants, some systemic decongestants, those are all examples of medications that could raise blood pressure and blunt the beneficial effects of olmesartan. All right, well, I think that's going to wrap up the podcast for today. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you've picked up a few practice pearls. If you did, leave us a rating review on iTunes or wherever you're listening. That's greatly appreciated. Helps us grow the podcast. Share us by email, social media, and certainly check us out at reallifepharmacology.com, where I've got all podcast episodes categorized based upon kind of disease systems, so cardiovascular, for example, neurology. So if you're going through school and looking to help have a different way to study and prepare for your exams, I've got them categorized out on the website, reallifepharmacology.com. So hopefully that's convenient for you. Any comments, suggestions, definitely don't hesitate to reach out. Eric Christensen, PharmD, BCGP, BCPS. You can find me on LinkedIn. It's probably the social media platform I'm most active on. You can also track me down, mededucation101@gmail.com. I'm going to sign off for today. I thank you so much for listening, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.